You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Malachi. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you for thy word. Deal with us according to your grace, and that we would have the benefit of being assembled together on your day. In the light of all that lies ahead, God, thou knowest. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our little exercise of looking at having hinds feet, that we can proceed down the corridor of time in a very successful way. And the opponents and the obstacles are many, but they are just that, only opponents and only obstacles. That's all they are. So as we share together in the light of everything, so here's Habakkuk, and we're trying to get some help. It's if you're traveling down the highway and everything's nice and wonderful, and that's what you say, well, hinds feet must be something awesome, and it is. But the hinds feet on high mountains, on the high places, even the world's high places, all of the religion and idols and everything, to be able to overcome all that, I need to understand the hinds feet as I go down the corridor of time. Now, in the light of that, we share together that Habakkuk is not David. David is one thing. He is king. He's king all the way to the end. And then he passes on and Solomon takes over. But when it comes to Habakkuk, the kingdom that starts with David and Saul, King Saul, David, is disappearing. It's just going to disappear. And therefore, what happened to the hinds feet going down the corridor? Well, David had it. We shared that going down, had a target, and he ran and looked at his target and kept right on focused and could travel week to week, day by day. But Habakkuk, looking, has everything against him. The bad king, Josiah is a good king, but just it doesn't do any good because the people, the good king having good things doesn't make the people change. The government, having a good government, doesn't change the people. It's a personal thing, a direct relationship to God, every human being, and they are responsible to God directly. It has nothing to do with family, friends, enemies, health, wealth. It has nothing to do with how good you raise them or how bad you raise them. Nope, they have to make a choice in their heart to turn to God. If they don't do it, it's not going to happen. And you aren't going to make it happen if they don't want it to happen, because God doesn't even do that. So I need to understand that, so I'm not looking for, if things get better in this and we could do this better and different, it will make differences. Yeah, that sounds good. And it does make a surface. And we shared that in the light of the millennium. And in particular, everything they can't do wrong, but they are wrong in their heart. They aren't saved, but they act right because God rules with a rod of iron, and you don't mess around. There's no police, there's no army, and God's just taking care of everything. So you don't mess around. But when opportunity, God gives it, the devil is let loose, etc., they rebel as the sand of the sea. So all of the bestest of everything doesn't change the heart if it doesn't want to change. Now, having said that little bit, here's Habakkuk looking at it, and it's all judgment, it's all going downhill. He has no encouragement. Chaldeans are coming in, they're the worst than they're a terrible nation, going to judge Israel, which has been bad. And now, having said that, when you come to the end of the God's Word in the Old Testament, in the light of this movement, chapter 2, verse 17. And you will recall again, you have wearied the Lord, our God's judgment upon the people that were still alive then. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet we say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. And he delighteth in them. He delighteth in evil. Remember Isaiah 5 and all of that? You turn, call evil good, good evil. Call light darkness, darkness light. Turn everything upside down so you can live with it. Otherwise, you can't live with it. How are you going to live with it? So we can't. So we turn it all upside down. Well, how does it end? They're still turning it all upside down. And in particular, the last part. Where is the God of judgment? God doesn't do anything. Now that's frustrating for someone like Habakkuk. He's a prophet. He's looking to God. God is in the righteous. We did all of those things this morning. God's going to do what he does. So God, in the light of you, and we're in the presence right now of the invisible God. In fact, that's how Moses, how did you ever do it? I saw him who was invisible. That's how I endured. That's how I went through everything. That's how I ended up meeting him in particular at the bush, Exodus 3, and having a unique relationship to him up and down that mountain, Mount Sinai. Wow. So how we do it? Well, here we are in his presence, and he's holy, he's different. That's why you can't, we're earthly, we're fleshly, we're bound by the elements. A God is not, he created them. So now we need to understand that. So we say, they say at the end, where is the God of judgment? When you come to the end of the Bible, 2 Peter, there, what are you going to say? Chapter 3. Where is the promise of his, what? Where is the promise of his coming? He hasn't come. The so-called flood, he hasn't come. Like in the Old Testament, it ends. Where is his God of judgment? Where is God? So we just sort of keep going, and history keeps on working itself. And in particular, it will help. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, you'll remember, picking up, if I can, in verse 11. Because, sentence against, this is 8:11 Ecclesiastes. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed, where is the God of judgment? Why doesn't someone do something? Why doesn't someone fix something? Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So they just keep right on going. That's what we just looked at. And that's frustrating to the believer. How can you let all this happen? Verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. And I think of people that you know historically, people that I know, if they're saved, boy, you'd never know it. They lived to 94, 99. I mean, and you say, how can they? And you know the guy's a rascal. Wow. God, you don't do anything. God said, what's 100 days, 100 years in the light of forever? What is the light of your life, time, in the light of forever? It's zero. It's negligible. Therefore, Therefore, in verse 12, verse 13, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. So God, looking at the world, that's very frustrating for the believer. You're trying to walk with God, but you're trying to be, you're in the world, and Jerusalem, and that's your people, if you're Habakkuk, and that's your city, that's your temple, that's your history, and all of that is very difficult. So now, back over to Habakkuk. And you're going to recall, remember, the end of verse 16, just very quickly, because it needs a little help there. I might rest in the day of trouble. This is verse 16 of chapter 3, the end of the verse. That I might rest, wait patiently is the word. I'm waiting patiently. I'm waiting patiently in the day of trouble. I'm waiting for it. When he cometh up, that's the Chaldeans are coming. The word coming up, as we shared, had to go to war. The Chaldeans are coming to take us. They're at war with us, as it were. And I'm waiting, because the Chaldeans are going to invade us. They're going to invade us. I'm waiting for you, God, to see what you're going to do. I know what you're going to do with Jerusalem, and you're going to level it in the temple. I'm waiting to see what you do with the Chaldeans. You're going to judge them. You said you were, and I'm looking for you to do that. I understand the one. I need to understand the judgment of all the wrong and all the inequality in the world. I need to see how that comes out. It seems like it's so uneven and wrong. Wrong seems to win. Wrong never wins. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, in verse 17. And in verse 17, you'll notice, although, what are you going to say, Habakkuk? Well, I'm going to tell you how it's going to work out. I know I have to go by faith. We shared that this morning. I know I have to go by faith. I have to look to God. I can't do it by myself. And I can't understand because I'm just in the trenches. And the general's there, back there with the headquarters where he got all the pieces and all the information. And we're in the trenches. And we don't know, as we shared this morning. But everyone in headquarters knows. And that's different because they know how it's going. Head trenches, the enemy's there, I don't know. But God does. Now, God, what are you telling us? Well, God said, listen, God is going to go and take me and help me. Is God conscious? The general, in a human sense, can't be conscious of the trenches like God can be conscious of you. God's conscious of you in the trenches. God's conscious of you like we shared if you only had 3 bullets. God's conscious of that. In fact, not only is God conscious as we shared, God is in the trenches with you. That's quite different. God is in the trench. God is why you have hinds feet. God is why you can run and not be weary. Why you can overcome. Because of God. Now, hang on. Now, having said that, therefore, his wonderful determination in verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, food, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. In other words, there's no way to find anything almost to eat. There's nothing anywhere. And when it's all gone, although, if this were to happen, God, looking to God after this, in the light of chapter 3, coming to the end, looking to God, if everything is gone and lost, and there's a big zero, nothing, anywhere, anyhow, zero hope, like you read in Psalm 46, though the earth will open up and swallow you, even if that, God, if everything's gone, I'm looking to you. If I see nothing, have nothing, know nothing, can do nothing, I'm looking to you, God. I'm looking to you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We've got to walk by faith and not by sight. God's wonderful faithfulness to be who He is. He has a wonderful plan, like we shared this morning. He has a wonderful plan. He's going to do just exactly what He's doing. He's going to turn the pages of history. It's all going to go. And you're determined. Habakkuk, I am. I've rolled up my sleeves, and I'm looking to you, God. And I don't have anything to give to understand. All I can do is be here. And if I have zero and you leave me with nothing, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to look to you, God. That's what he needs. Paul will say that, you know, all kinds of ways to do it. Paul's going to say, if I had everything, all my credentials and his wonderful, Paul's wonderful credentials in Philippians 3, I count it all as dung, as waste. Not one thing would I trust God to get me through. A Pharisee, a Roman citizen, and all. No, I'm not going to trust a thing. I'm not going to, like in Corinthians. I determined to know nothing among the Corinthians except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Nothing. God, when it's all gone, now can you get like that? What about my job, my health, my family, my friends? Coming, going. Well, you're worried about this, and you're worried about children, and you're worried about all these different things, and plenty to worry about, and it's growing. So your worries can increase if you want to harvest them. They're there. Now, God, am I going to, and that's what Habakkuk's facing. He's not facing anything coming out. In fact, his day, probably 615, to when Babylon is going to be judged, 539, that's 76 years. 76 years he's going to have to wait if he could stay alive. He isn't. But if he was, he'd have to wait 76 years to see the Babylon fall, etc., by Cyrus, etc. Now, so in the process, God, it's an awesome thing. So therefore, when I come to verse 18. Now, you need to understand, if I have nothing at all and know nothing, and you have to be able to try to grip that a little bit in your head and heart. If I had nothing, no job, no health, no wealth, no family, no friends, no money, no food. I don't know anything, but I have you, God. You have to get there. Bankrupt, but you're never bankrupt. In God, you're very rich. Now, having said that, so Paul, Habakkuk, what are you going to say? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I am going to go and rejoice. I'm going to begin to rejoice. The word rejoice means to be lively, excited, jumping, full of motion, leaping around, excited, exalting. I'm excited. Well, I thought you were just depressed. No, I was, but I'm not now, because I determined that God, it isn't going to be me. God, I got to look to God. If I look to myself, I surely could be depressed, but I'm not going to look to me. To myself, I'm going to look to God. And God is doing what he's doing. That's a wonderful thing that he's doing. I'm going to rejoice. Not only that, in verse verse 18. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to joy. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And the word joy there means to turn in a circle, to whirl around, to spin around. Whirling, excited, whirling around. Now that's pretty active. It looked like he was going to be sitting in a bed, locked in, depressed. No, he's getting up, he's jumping around, as it were, in his heart, and he is whirling in the wonderfulness of it all. Hang on, it's a wonderful thing. Now, God. Now, having said that, now, God, do you inspire that? Oh, he does. Hang on. Over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 65. Now, and the context again, picking up, please. Going to verse 17, 65, 17. For behold, God said, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. You can never remember your pizza place or anything else. You're never going to remember any of it. No, sir. And I'm going to do that. Brand new. Remember we said? David, how do you run? What's your focus? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm headed to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's where I'm going, God. So God, what are you doing? Here's Nebuchadnezzar and Jerusalem, and Jerusalem's going to be torn down. You're going to allow it to be ruined. God said, listen, do you understand the plan? The pages are making a new heaven and a new earth. That's what I'm doing. Sin loused it all up, and my son died to make it all new, to make it all work. So it's a brand new thing, whole new heavens. God, yeah, that's what you're going to do? Yeah, that's exciting, you see. Now, are you excited about a new heavens and a new earth? Revelation 21, that's where it's going to go. That's where we're going. You can go look at the sun while you can. And by the way, that's how darkness helps us, doesn't it? It's easier to see the stars in the darkness, isn't it? You don't see the stars in the light. It's the darkness that we catch. There's light out there. Wow. Hang on. Now, Verse 18, but be ye glad and rejoice. There's your little word we just looked at, joy. Then you shall rejoice, turn in a circle. But be ye glad and rejoice, turn around in a circle, twist around as it were, forever in that which I create. Be all excited about what I'm creating, a new heavens and a new earth. Verse 18, and behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing. There's your little word joy, turning in a circle. God, Habakkuk said, I'm excited. God, are you excited? I am excited, said God. And I told you to turn around because I'm turning around. It's a wonderful thing I'm doing. Hang on. I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And you're going to see the verb again in verse 19. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Wow. It's a wonderful thing God said I'm doing. I'm creating a new thing. God already, when you got saved, 2 Corinthians 5:17 created you what? A new creation, a new creature. That's pretty exciting. How excited are you about being a new creation? God's wonderfully excited. That's where we miss out. We're focused and caught up this way, like Habakkuk. But God has given us hinds feet, the Most High God indwelling, so that we can enjoy. Over, if you would, please, to John chapter 15, the Gospel of John, and chapter 15. And you will note our Lord, when we're doing John, going back to John shortly, John chapter 15, verse 11. Remember our Lord said it? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy can be full. I want you, but remember, as you read, all these things are going to happen. Look at chapter 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. You're going to be put in jail. You're going to be, people don't love you. They're going to hate you. All those things, but there's nothing positive. But what do you want? You're in the world. God changed you, took you. You've got to be understanding. And you're trying to save it and make it come out right. It isn't going to come out right. It's wrong. And it's judged. It's condemned. It ain't going to come out right. I need to know that. And apart from God, I'm not going to come out right. And neither are you. And say, well, we're going to end. No, you and I, like it or not, even if the government gives me all the benefits and I'm able to be as an alien and not have to work anymore, not have to think anymore, and I'm going to be able to travel the world, etc., with wonderful things. No, that isn't how it's going to go. That's not how it's going, and it's going to be difficult. So God, what am I doing? Well, I'm going to have to look to you, because otherwise it isn't going to work out. And God said, listen, I gave you my joy, verse 11, so that your joy would be full. Now, Habakkuk, what are you doing? Way back there in the Old Testament, you didn't have any of the advantages we have. And you're excited. What excited you? I looked to God. I locked on to God, his faithfulness. I understood my terrible understanding of all the things that were happening around me. Manasseh and evil, and the people weren't a good king, but the people weren't changed at all. And then they're going to go to four bad kings and then Nebuchadnezzar. So it just isn't going to come out. But God, Habakkuk, you hung in there. And we have none of that. We have something else, though. We're living in a world that is very volatile at the moment. And I'm going to stay that way for a while until he comes, I think. It has to come that way. By that I mean, if we just sit here long enough, all the events are going to happen. That's really going to happen. That's all. So they're going to happen. So what are they going to do? But you say, don't, well, they're going to happen anyway. So it doesn't make any difference. Say, I don't understand it. We don't need to understand it. God already told you it's going to happen. So you just believe, and then you have to have faith in God who's turning the pages, outworking it. So therefore, God, you've made it possible for us to have joy in Christ. And that's right. And I want you to enjoy that. Now back over to Habakkuk. It's a wonderful thing God has done. So God's excited about being a new creature, a new heavens, new earth. And that's what you ought to be excited about. I'm part of that. If you're saved, aren't you part of that? That's where you're headed. I don't feel it. It doesn't matter whether you feel it. I don't feel it. I'll be here next week. But God isn't feelings. Nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. God, it's going to be. It's going to be. Wow. Now, having said that, over if I can, verse 19. The Lord God, one other thing while I think of it, before we do that, or if you can, Habakkuk, over, go over to Isaiah, and you'll catch this again in a very familiar passage to you. Over to Isaiah, and chapter 40, and pick it up. You know it. It's a, you want to, you got all these things to be encouraged. So how do you do it? How did Isaiah, how did you tell him to be encouraged? Isaiah 40, if I can, picking up in verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, the stars and planets and all of them, galaxies, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, all of them, stars, trillions of them, trillions and trillions, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. God, they all line up, muster for roll call. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? My judgment is passed over from my God. We're back to the beginning, what we shared. It's all gone. Nothing's going to change. It's all going to be. God said, what's wrong with you? You lost it. You lost it. Look up. I'm here. So God, here we are. If I can. If I can. Now, verse 28, thou hast not known, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. His ways and his thoughts are higher than the heavens. And God, so what are we doing? Habakkuk, what are you doing, Isaiah? We're looking to God. That's what we're doing. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. That's what he does. Well, how do you got hind feet? Yeah, what do you mean? I'm going to help you get there. You don't have to worry about it. I have a wonderful plan for your high places, where I want you to succeed, where I want you to go. And there's nothing anywhere that's going to stop it. And if I don't want, if it isn't going to be, then it's not going to be. But if I want it, it's going to be. Therefore, verse 30, even the youth shall faint in their trusting in their own strength, shall be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait, are waiting, participle. They're waiting upon the Lord. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's what they're going to do. They have hind feet. They're going to make it. Why, God? Why? Because I told you. If you're looking to me, have faith, you're trusting me, I'm going to work out everything. And the pages, you don't understand them all. You don't need to. You need to trust me so that I'm outworking my wonderful plan in your life as you go down the corridor of time. Therefore, Habakkuk, and chapter 3. And you'll notice in verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. He's my strength, my wonderful, wonderful strength. He is the might, the power, the ability. He's the one that gets me where I need to go, how I need. We just read it. Not by young, it isn't our youth and our vigor and our energy. No, it's God. God gives us the incentive. Where do we get the rejoicing? From God. There's nothing exciting. Exciting? Maybe there's something exciting in the news, something exciting. Maybe in your job, in your work, in your school, in your family, in your health, something exciting. No, God's exciting. God's excited about being God and doing what he does. And so we get excited about God. That's what we do. So God, thank you. So therefore, verse 19, the Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. God's going to go and give me all that I need. David, but Habakkuk, everything is lousy, but he gives me hinds feet to run the race, to walk the walk, to talk the talk. God gives me hinds feet for what? My high places. God's wonderful plan for my life. Habakkuk, I know the things going lousy in his day with Nebuchadnezzar and everything, but God, I have hinds feet for my high places. And it isn't my plan, God. It isn't my book. It isn't my world. You created this world. It's heaven and earth, Genesis 1. And you're going to recreate it and make a new heavens and a new earth. And you're excited about it. And God, I'm going to get excited about what you're excited. And that's how I'm going to get there. I'm not going to get there looking out the window, looking at television. I'm not going to get it that way. Nope. I'm going to get it looking to you, God. So when I see it all, I look at my body and it's failing and faltering. I look at the world system around me, failing and faltering. And all of that says, God, you said it would be failing and falling, faltering. And God, thank you. Thank you very much. So I don't trust myself. The flesh, no flesh shall glory in my presence. No flesh shall glory in my presence. It isn't about my hands or my mind or my brain. It's about you. That's where it is. Wow. Now, having said that a little bit, he makes my feet like hinds feet. He gives me this, makes this so I can have the strength, the swiftness, the ability, the sureness, the confidence to proceed, because my feet are hinds feet. That's what they are. It's a continuance. So God, I'm able to go down the corridor of time and do that which is I need to do as I go down. And God, you're able to go and make it all come out as you need to and as you must. Now, having said that, as you go down the corridor, and as you're out working the Most High God's wonderful plan in your life, if you're going to trust him and enjoy the trip, and therefore you're going through the valley of darkness, and there's a lot of evil, but we're going to look like Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and that, looking unto Jesus, the author, the leader, the founder of the faith, we're trusting. We're trusting you, God, and you're the finisher. That's right. You're the one that perfects, God. Who can make it come out? God, you do. I believe with Philippians 1:6, he that hath begun a good work in you is going to do it. All right, I got the beginning. I have the end. I have the end. That's where it's going to go. It has to end. It has to finish. You're the finisher. Who started it? Who created me? Who saves me? God, you do. Who makes it finish? Who makes it come out right? You do, God. You're the author and you're the finisher. And that's why we're going to what? Run the race. And he counted it all joy. What did he count joy? The lousiness of the cross. The horribleness of the cross. He counted it as joy. That's what he did. He looked at it as a stepping stone. Habakkuk, what are you doing? I'm using it as a stepping stone. It's a wonderful thing God has to have happen. All of these different things in the outworking before he comes, as he comes. God, they have to happen. And we're counting that. We're looking for that. We wish it didn't happen, but it has to happen. So we sit and look at the world, in light of the prophecy in the Bible. And we look to get a little bit of excitement. God, things are moving. They're moving like they never moved. Wow. It's a wonderful thing. See? But then you say, well, no, it isn't. Yes, it is. It has to happen and come out. It's a wonderful thing. The steps have to work. The pages have to be turned down. So having said that, now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and God has to help us to do that. Now, if, and God has to help us, Heinz Fee, now, illustration that we help you. Now, can God, we just read it in Isaiah 40, God, there's no problem for you at all in anything. So God, can you, are you going to be who you are, doing all that you do? Absolutely, going to do that. Now, if I had a super-duper athlete in some field, and he was trained and exercised, he would be pretty good at what he does, because he's trained and exercised to do it. And that's wonderful. And if we're going to add to that, and if you wanted to be something, think of Beethoven. Beethoven, back in the German composer and all of that. And he became deaf the last 3 years of his life, and he still wrote music. Totally. He was deaf earlier, but he got totally deaf at 3 years before he died, and he wrote. Now, he wrote magnificent music. He knew how to put pieces together. That's what made him, because he could take pieces and bring the thing into a puzzle. He could take the pieces of the puzzle, the music, and bring it into a picture. Wow. To bring the message into a picture, you see. Wow. And he did that. Now, and some of you are musical like that. And you'd say, well, boy, I would like to do some of that, those things. And that's good, but you'd have to be Beethoven, wouldn't you? Beethoven can do them. But Beethoven is Beethoven. And Beethoven can't give anything he has to anybody else. So, but when it comes to you, God, you made it possible by Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You made it possible by sending your Son to take us to the cross, our death, our burial, our resurrection, our wonderful salvation, being new creatures in Christ. God, you did that. You did that for us in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. So when I receive you as my Savior, and each of us should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as our Savior, and as we do that, God, Beethoven can't come into my life. The sports figure can't come into my life. They can't give me anything they have. Only God, only you can. And God gave himself in Christ. He took us into himself in his Son to save us. So that now what Beethoven and them can't, no one can do it. But God, can you be God in my little heart? And he can. He designed us for it, for God to be God. That's why you have hinds feet, the Most High God, to be able to run. Because it isn't. God can be who he is. And God is able to take you, like he said in John 15, my joy I give to you, so that now your joy can be full. I give you. I make for you what I am. And the Lord Jesus Christ helps us to run the race. Are you excited, God, about doing that? Absolutely. Absolutely. You would never know it, perhaps, looking down from heaven across the face of the earth. But God, you are excited about saving. In fact, the angels are super happy, excited, when they see somebody repent, when someone gets saved. Wow. It's a big thing to really get saved. It's a big thing to be a new creature in Christ. It's an awesome thing. But we, you know, church. Gotta go to church. I'm a Christian. You know, I'm a Christian. Yeah. I'm saved, going to heaven. Yeah. I don't know. Now, God, so therefore, Therefore, with that in mind, if you would, over to the book of Ephesians. And if you would note, please, Habakkuk, hinds feet, God gives us hinds feet, wonderfully, wonderfully hinds feet. And we're to walk in newness of life, Galatians 2:20. Now, here's looking at Ephesians, if I may, in the light of it all. I'm going to go and just run back and forth to get a movement of it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. What is the exceeding riches, the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places? Now, God, you took the perfect humanity of Christ and gave him your awesome, awesome relationship to make it all work. Now, having said that, then God, what did you do? Well, when you died for us, verse 6, chapter 2, and hath raised us up together to make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now remember, God's excited about what he's doing, going to do, and you're a new creature, but the whole language is about you being there all the while you're here. All the while you're here, you're there. And that's how God talks to you. Hang on. Verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, God, that's an awesome thing. And in the process, the high places and their high places, the powers that be. Chapter 3. God, verse 10. To the intent, purpose, that now, hang on. To the tempers that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, by way of means of the church, the manifold, many faceted, many different ways about the wisdom of God in taking and saving us and using us, outworking his will. God showed his son all over the place for 3 1/3 years, and God chose, if you're saved, God uses you all over the place. And the world's busy, your company you work for, the people around you, the friends, neighbors, schoolmates, whatever they are, they're all looking because God's using you to go, if you're saved, and looking to God as a new creature, and they're looking and learning. And God, as we go, the high places, the evil, the enemy, the world's high places, the religious systems. What did you do? You're taking us, the believing heart, housing the Most High God, that's you, God. And as we go down the corridor of time, what are you doing? The devil, his angels, the good guys and the bad guys, they're all there. Awesome powers. One angel, in fact, the devil is so strong. One angel, the devil, is able to go and to deceive the whole world in the millennium. One. He's able to muster every continent, every people on all of the earth, he by himself, against God. That's power. Awesome power. Now, we can't compete with that, no. But we have hinds feet. We're we are able to go in their high places. And in all of the power, in all of the movement, in all of that, God is on top of it, over it. And we are God. Here we are in the middle of it, and God keeps us in the middle of the high places. And God's using us to teach the enemy, angels, good guys, bad guys, the devil himself. The devil himself learned something, didn't he, from Job? Didn't he? The devil wanted to do what he did. Did the devil learn anything in the life of Job? Absolutely. Absolutely, he did. In your life, is the devil going to learn something about God's saving grace in your life? We stumble, we fall, we get up, we keep going, and God, we're working at it. And the devil, the angels, are they learning anything of God saving? God, help us to have hinds feet, to be overcomers, and to keep going in a most wonderful way. So now, having said that, over if I can, to Ephesians, and in chapter 6, to say it more definitely to you, easier, Ephesians 3:10, now here's a 6, and go to 6, chapter 6, picking up, please, in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the deceits, the trickery, the craftiness of the devil. For reason, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in where? High places. I have given you your feet to walk over their high places. You are over them. I'm over them, said God. Christ in you is over them. That's why you are, greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. You're an overcomer. And here's the devil. But the devil can't. The devil. I told you, over the years here, I have developed a wonderful respect for the devil, actually. And I salute him. I have no problem with the devil. I used to have. Be careful what I say, because if I planned to say, I didn't tell anybody anything of what I was going to do, because the devil was out there to use. If he knew what I was going to do, he'd use it out with the people and use it against the thing. So I couldn't tell anybody. But I don't have that anymore, because the devil doesn't care. There's such a few remnant now. It doesn't matter anymore. So I don't care anymore. Wow. God. So God, you're doing a wonderful thing. And therefore, we got to put on the whole armor of God. That's what we got to do. So how can we stand? We have hinds feet. That's right. And you're able to overcome. But you've got to have armor on from head to toe, from your head to your toe. Now over to Ephesians chapter 1. So God, you're going to help us. The enemy's there. And all in high places, so it isn't flesh and blood you're looking at. We're looking at the bad guys, in the big, big-time bad guys. And here in Ephesians, again in chapter 1, if I may, as you would know in all these high things, and that's where we're seated in high places, and you know, and thus it would make quite good sense in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And it doesn't say you're going to have a money tree or something. I'm going to give you what? Heavenly blessings. Heavenly blessings. And where are we going to get them? In Christ Jesus. That's where you're going to get them. Where are you going to get hinds feet and power? In Christ Jesus. That's where you're going to get it. So you can go. Wow. Where are we going to get the resources? From heaven. That's where you're seated. It's the God, the Most High God, that's in your heart that saved you. And you're in the world. The world hates you, but you go down the corridor anyway. And you do everything. And you're learning to what? Not get down in the dumps because of everything and the plenty to get worried about and stuff. No, we're going to look to God. And he's going to help us to learn to be content with whatever things we have. In closing, over to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, you would recall, verse 16. 4:16. Chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So we understand easy. Everything's not physically and everything else. Verse 17, but our light affliction, it's nothing. Don't make a big deal about it. Got to make a big deal. Big deal about my problem. Don't make a big deal about your problem. It's a light thing. Don't make a big deal about it. Don't make so much about it. But I'm going to have an operation and they're removing my heart. Don't make a big deal about it. Don't make a big deal. Relax. Verse 18. Verse 18. Well, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So God, we're looking at that. Looking at the end of verse 17, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal way to glory. God, we're new creatures. We're going to be in new heavens and a new earth. And you're all excited. I'm getting excited. And the people ask, and you can't explain it to anybody. How are you going to explain it to anybody? You can just be excited. That's all, because you can't explain it. I'm going to explain it to my husband. Well, maybe not. My wife. My son, my daughter. Maybe you can't. It's too hard. Need to have it. I see you're excited. Now, why am I excited? Why are you excited? Because of your unique, wonderful relationship to the only God that created and saves us. And that's what you need to know, sir. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll get excited. That's what you got to do now. So therefore, chapter 5 and verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, this one, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, by means of faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. As long as you're in this body, you can't be in the next one. That's all. If you're trying to preserve this one, you shouldn't do that, because God has another one. I hope we got a little bit. Hinds feet for high places. And you don't have to get down in the dumps. The hinds feet are in the muck, for the muck and the mire, for all the dirty jobs and all the lousy stuff in this world. And that's where you walk with hinds feet. In the hinds feet, you're walking on the muck, but you're walking at the top of the pile, the Most High God, as you travel through it. And that's why, without getting into it, chapter 13 of John of that, the rest of you are clean. Your heart is clean. You just need to wash your feet, because you're walking in the muck. You aren't going to get it. You aren't going to get mucky. Understand? You just need your feet washed. That's why we confess our sin, faithful and just, to forgive us our sin. And we walk in the light as He is in the light. Why? Because God is going to do it. So we just have to rally our feet. No, we belong in the high places. But your feet are going to get mucky. And so the deer's had foot washing somewhere to help them. Wow. Our Father in God, thank you for the little bit. Help us to understand a little more, to see the benefit of knowing you and honoring you and understanding you. God, thank you very, very, very much. Thank you. Help us. In Christ's name.